The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Brothers and sisters, the title of our series of lectures is Karbala, the Enlightened Journey. And as you heard yesterday evening, this enlightenment that is happening is an enlightenment from what we refer to as the Jahiliyyah. Jahiliyyah is a Quranic term which refers to the time period and the lifestyle of ignorance that predated Islam. Yesterday you saw how the Quran refers to Jahiliyyah in the context of people having misplaced beliefs. It refers to Jahiliyyah in the context of people who have adopted certain practices which are contrary to Islamic teachings and Islamic practices. Today I want to quote to you another ayah to begin our discussion. This is from Surah Al-Fath 48:26, where Allah Ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إذ جعل الذين كفروا في قلوبهم الحمية حمية الجاهلية. Allah tells the Muslims and the Prophet that remember this incident in history when the kuffar, the stubborn, arrogant disbelievers, they had put in their hearts the feeling of hamiya. Hamiya is a word which comes from the word hami, which means heat. Now, what is this heat which results in a feeling? You know how when people are angry and they're very passionate about something, their temperature starts to rise, and oftentimes like they will start raising their voice, maybe even the color of their skin will become red, and they become passionate about what they have in their hearts. Now, when that passion gets to an extreme level where it blinds somebody from seeing the truth, and somebody acts according to prejudice and bigotry and standards which are unjust, that is referred to as hamiya, an unjust bigotry. So Allah says that there was a time when the kuffar, they did this. What was the incident? It is the incident that led to the signing of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. You know that the Muslims, upon the command of Allah, had gathered to perform the Hajj. But when they made their way to Mecca, the mushrikeen decided that they weren't going to let them in. It could have led to a war. But through the skillful negotiation of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what ended up happening is that a truce was negotiated. This year they wouldn't go, but next year they would have the right to go. And they did end up going next year. Now, what was the reason for them not letting the Muslims perform the Hajj? In ancient times, the Hajj and the Kaaba were a sanctuary. It was a haram. To the point where they say that, let's say that somebody killed my own father, and I went in front of the Kaaba, and I happened to see the killer of my own father present right there at the Kaaba. Because of the sanctity of that place, I would not have a right to retaliate. That's not the place for it. It was considered above those type of things. But these people, because of the extreme amount of prejudice they had, they didn't want to lose face with the rest of the Arabs. They didn't want to say that, oh, you let your own enemy into your own homelands. You're going to be the laughingstock of the Arabs. Because of their wanting to hold on to that city of Mecca and not let the Muslims in, they said that we're not going to let you in. And they went further to prevent the Prophet's title from being written in the treaty. You know, the Prophet was Rasulullah, he was a messenger of Allah. But when the Muslims wanted to write this in, they said that no, we're not going to allow this to happen. Anyhow, Allah describes for us what's happening to them at that time. When they're making these decisions which are unjust, they're contrary to the truth, what's happening? Allah says that this is something which comes from jahiliya. This is part of the ignorance. This is something you have to be careful about. Now, as we said yesterday, the jahiliya that was there before Islam was something which the Quran refers to as al-jahiliyatul ula, the first jahiliya. And in hadith, we're told that there will be another jahiliya coming about. And what we'd like to do in the course of these lectures is to see what kind of jahiliya was present at the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and then to see what's happening in our current times. So at this point, I want to introduce you to one trend of thought that was taking place during the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which actually began towards the end of the reign of the third Khalifa, which is called the school of the Murji'ah. The Murji'ah is a very interesting thing if you study Islamic history. What happened was that before this particular way of thinking came about, people used to be kind of pro one person or they were pro another person, right? They were, let's say, pro Imam Ali alayhi salam, or they were pro the first Khalifa or the second Khalifa, etc. But what happened with the incidents that led to the house arrest of the third Khalifa, his home was surrounded by people who were protesting the policies of his government. Now, there were those, of course, who were passionately supporting Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. They were with him, they were on his side. There were those who were passionately supporting Uthman. And there were those who said that, you know, in this incident that's taking place right here, we're not going to take a position. It's a new type of thinking that crept upon the Muslims at that time. What right do we have to judge between these people who have different positions? They actually, there's one incident in history, what happened, they had gone away from the city, they went to perform Hajj, and when they come back to Medina, they officially declare their position. They say that, we are going to do irja of this issue. Irja means that we're going to defer and delay any type of judgment. We're going to leave it to God. From our perspective, we have one Muslim here and we have another Muslim here. And who are we to judge? Now, of course, immediately the question comes about that if you have two different Muslims, then isn't it the case that well, one of them is righteous and one of them is sinful? One of them is the paragon of virtue and truth and taqwa, and the other one is the paragon of, the third Khalifa was famous for, let's say, corruption and nepotism and all these other things. So can't you judge between them on that basis? So what they said is that, well, from our perspective, we have no right to question somebody on their actions. What's important is that you declare your faith, the actions come secondary. That's for God to judge. From our perspective, everyone is the same. And that began a new trend in the Muslim Ummah. Soon enough, the Murji'ah trend began to expand. And now, particularly after the Shahada of Amir al-Mu'mineen, what happened is that they took on a more sophisticated stance. And this is, I'm saying this history, brothers and sisters, because it's very important. We're going to look and see how history repeats itself just soon. So what happens now? They said that, well, we have this position of neutrality, but now that Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam has become shaheed, now the ruler of the time is Muawiyah. Now Muawiyah, from our perspective, is a Muslim. The judgment of Muawiyah is to God, and we are people who want peace. Now if we're going to take a stance against Muawiyah and the leading government, because he's the governor at that time, he's the one who's in charge, then that's going to create conflict. So in order to create peace, we're going to align ourselves with Muawiyah, but we're not going to say anything against Imam Ali alayhi salam as well. That judgment is with God. Now do you see, brothers and sisters, how things are moving along? This movement that started as a counter movement to taking a stance, now it has become a movement of associating with the corrupt, unjust government of that time in the name of being neutral. And now we come to the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. One of the very interesting and useful things for us on these nights, inshallah, will be to see what was it that led people to abandon Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Oh, Hussein, you'll live forever in our hearts and in our minds. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein. Hussein, you'll live forever in our hearts and in our minds. I swear to Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.